shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Teaching today, and our title is Are We Blinded by Our Idols? Are we blinded by our idols? And I want to take this today from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and I want to look at verse 26 of Isaiah 40. And our teaching today is, are we blinded by our idols? And verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. Now, God is speaking here through Isaiah. He's coveting the children of Israel. And he's speaking comfort not only to Israel, but to Zion, to the future. The same as the word of God can speak comfort to us today as well. And when you read the book of Isaiah, to just briefly say, from chapters 1 up to chapter 39 of Isaiah, is fundamentally speaking to Israel about judgment and chastisement and the warnings that she is going into captivity into Babylon, which of course she did. Then when you come to chapter 40 onwards, the tone somewhat changes, and it's speaking of God's comfort and blessing and forgiveness to Israel. But in order to do that, he's revealing something of himself. And in this great chapter, he's revealing his glory. And I suggest to you that you, in your private time before the Lord, read this great chapter, because we can't read it all today, but it speaks about his greatness, the mightiness of God. And that is important if we are to look away, if we're to look to God, then we are to look also to his greatness, his power, his might. And that is one of the great remedies against idolatry and these idols that we battle in our lives. So that's briefly where Isaiah is coming from. And in verse 21 of the same chapter, we read here, where they ask God a question, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing and makes the judges of the earth useless. So there is a question. And the answer to all of this, which God is revealing himself, is of course to be found in verse 26, of which we've just read to you. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. You see, they know there is a God, but they're blinded. And so often Israel was blinded by rebelliousness, idolatry, and they were stiff-necked. And what they're blinded to here is his greatness and his sovereignty. And of course, this is so helpful to those who walk by faith and not by sight. And we too can be guilty of this, as we're going to see as we open this up further. They're blinded to God's creation. They're blinded to the fact that you can admire, you can look at his creation. You can acknowledge his creation each day as you give him praise and glory, which helps with our faith and our relationship with him. You see, how easy it is, isn't it, to believe in the power and the might of God and yet doubt that he can provide for our everyday needs, that he can deliver us and look after us and keep us whole in mind, body and spirit. How easy it is to forget that. And yet we are confronted day in, day out by the miraculous power and creation of Almighty God. And yet we can be so blinded, we can be so inward looking, failing to see what God has done and continues to do. And the children of Israel were guilty of this. And as God is going to start to comfort them, because he knows Israel's future, he knows what they're going to face, he's revealing the comforting side. And in order to do that, you have to see his greatness, his majesty, his sovereignty. And of course, as I've said, this helps with our relationship with him. Because it's easy to believe the power and might of God, yet in our trials, our everyday needs, we confess anything but. You see, when you confess and you come clean with God, you will find verse 29 to 31 will be your experience. And let's read it as we go on. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You see, we probably got that underlined. We know that very well. It's something we confess and everything. But that can only really be experienced when you are acknowledging the majesty, the dominion, the might, the power, the glory of Almighty God. Why am I making such a lot of this? Well, the reason is that at times we're blinded by seeing all of this. We're blinded by the ability of God through what we see and experience to provide for our every need, our every situation. We're not acknowledging his greatness, his power, his might. And when we're blinded to that, then we become an unthankful people. And God loves the praise and thanks of his people. That is why it's so important when we praise and worship him, that we acknowledge, we thank him. Because a lot of that is inspired by the majesty and dominion and power of God. Why is it that some find it difficult? Why is it that some are down or dejected or battling? Very often the reasons are because there are idols that get in the way. It isn't rocket science to work it out. You see, Isaiah is admonishing them to look up, to look away from their idols. That's what he says here. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. In other words, look away from yourself. Look away from your wants, your idols, those things that still bother you, that vex you, that hold you in fear. He says, look away. Look to God. Look at to the created things that he's made. It's one of the best ways to get delivered, to deal with depression and oppression. Believe me, I've had to learn this one over the years. And he's saying exactly the same to the children of Israel. He's saying the same to us today in these last days. Because these idols, they can so easily get in the way. And that's why Isaiah is admonishing them to look up, to look away from their idols. You see, what he's doing in here is beginning to get them to think. He's beginning to get them to visualize. He's trying to get their eyes open, that it is all around them. They don't have to search to see the glory and the majesty of God. God is in everything. You see, the nature of idols is to rob you from seeing God fully and acknowledging and worshipping him. That is the nature of idols. That is what the devil tries to do with us. He doesn't want you worshipping God. He doesn't want you acknowledging him. He doesn't want you to see his greatness, his power, his might, his dominion. Because Satan wants to be the God of this world. And that is the battle. That's the warfare that goes on. That is the battle that's going to be for the last days, brothers and sisters. Believe me. What does it say in Revelation 9 and verse 20? Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20. But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship, demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. That is a description now of the closing days. And it says they don't repent. They don't want to give up their wealth, their idols, their greed, self. Even though the plagues are falling, the judgment is falling in the last days. Look at the hardness of the heart there. And what is the problem? Isaiah reveals it. Because their eyes are not looking on high. They are not looking to the created things of Almighty God. They are looking to the God of this world who blinds the eyes. There's the difference. And that is your warfare. That's my warfare. That's a lot of our overcoming each day. But brothers and sisters, this is going to be greatly helped when we start to visualize, when we start to open our eyes more and start to appreciate and praise him. That is why I love to go for walks. That's why I like to get outside and walk in the countryside. And I find myself just praising him and thanking him, looking at the trees and the fields, all of them. Every tree is all different, not one alike. Everything you look around is all different. It's not all the same. Human beings are not the same. Our personalities, our characters are not the same. Did you know that our fingerprints, every fingerprint is different? Wow, only God can do that. And I could just go on and on and on with this. And so when we look up in our everyday life, we will see God in everything, working everything together for good, which he says he does in his word. It's when we look up, it's when we look, it's when we use these eyes that he's given to us, we can see that everything, God is using everything, working together for good to those that love God and those who are called according to his purpose. It starts to make our life more supernatural and miraculous, which the Christian life should be. But we have to meet God halfway. We always want him to do it all. But he's given us a mind. He's given us an imagination. He's given us eyes and a tongue and a voice, all of which we can acknowledge and give it back to him in glory. And that is what Isaiah was encouraging the children of Israel to do, because they're blinded to this. They're blinded to their own griping and moaning. And boy, don't we see a lot of people like that around. One doesn't want to be very long in the company of people like that, you know. One has to really overcome, because they're blinded, they can't see. All they can see is themselves. Poor me. That's why God presents the cross, to deliver us from ourselves, so that we can appreciate, we can see God with those eyes and ears and hearts that he's given to us. And that's why we see God in everything. We see him in the world. We see him in the resources that he's given to us. Water, which is the basis of life. Air which we breathe, as we wouldn't live otherwise. In nature, the things that he has created. It's all there to help us walk this walk of faith. It's time, brothers and sisters, to open our eyes to see that leaf that falls from a tree. To see that minute ant that can run across your floor. God created all of that. There are things that we don't even see. There are things that are created in the depths of the ocean, the seas, that man hasn't seen that's there. There's things under the earth. There's life under the earth we haven't even seen. That's all there, that's created. I could just go on and on and on with all of this. And why? It's so that we can walk by faith and not by sight. You see, this helps us to have an ability to see more of God, particularly when we go through our trials. You see, if we're not looking like this as he wants us to, we will fall. We will compromise. We'll make the mistakes that Israel made. All our lives are crying out for is just more of God. That's what we need. It's not ourselves, it's not our idols which we want. And yet we still hold on to them at times. Well, let's look at some scriptures as to what this says. You know, we tend to just think that that was the children of Israel's problem. It isn't. It's still a problem of today. It's still a problem with the contemporary church of today. For example, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 21. Here he finishes with this epistle. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So we also have to actively, willfully keep ourselves from these idols that take our time, our affection, that rob God of his glory. We see more, and we're looking in the New Testament at this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 14. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. So there, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church. And again, he's admonishing them to flee from these idols, because they rob you from seeing God and his glory, his majesty, his sovereignty. And Peter is very clear on this in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 2. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in the lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. So there we get an indication of where these idols are really, really working in play, in leisure. Well, we're surrounded in our environment, in our towns, our cities, with all of that that goes on. And so easy to get drawn into that type of thing, which is idolatrous. And he says, this is interesting here in verse 4, in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So they think it's strange that they ask us to go out with them or to go to these places, and we say, no, thank you, I'm not going. They regard it strange. We have to be on our guard against these things. Why? Because they're so idolatrous in nature. You know, there are times when we consciously have to turn our hearts and thoughts to Him, even when we don't feel like it. There are times you just consciously look to the Lord, acknowledge Him. God has given us an imagination. And sometimes you just have to do it. You may not feel like it. That is why praise and worship is so powerful. That is why it is important when we come to these meetings, we come and we sit under the Word of God, that we come prepared, built up, praising, worshiping Him. We come into this room with the right heart and attitude so that we can receive this Word. You can't receive it if you're down, depressed, you're not thankful, you're not acknowledging God, you're not praising Him and His glory and His majesty and creation and so on. It's just a huge hindrance. I believe this is one of the reasons of our sense of powerlessness and futility that we have at times in prayer, that we've lost our power to visualize. We can no longer even imagine placing ourselves before the presence of Almighty God. Do you not believe when Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you? Have you never allowed your mind, your imagination, just to think and dwell on that for a moment, that I am in the presence of Almighty God? God's given us that ability to experience that. Or is it unbelief? Well, I won't believe unless I see, unless I have a touch from Him, or lest I feel anointed, or whatever. No, friends, God has given us that ability. And we have to meet God halfway. Because He's there. He's told us He's there. And that's why it affects our praying as well. We can no longer imagine. We can no longer allow God to quicken us with His presence. That's why God wants to renew our minds, so that we have these experiences which help with our prayers and our intercessions. And when we come together as saints, all of this helps. It makes it an experience with Almighty God. And that should be our experience. Experiencing Him when we come together, when we have the Word of God ministered to us, or when we come to a prayer meeting, or whatever it is. That should be our experience. But the problem is, and Isaiah hit it on the nail, look up. We're all too often looking down, looking at the problems, but He says, look up, because your redemption is drawing nigh. I remember years ago when our dear sister Joy passed on to the Lord. I was feeling a little down and saddened that I'd lost a dear sister. And a saint said to me, "Don't look down, look up. She's risen. That is where she is. She's not down, she's above, she's up with the Lord." And you know, that was such a deliverance for me. I just felt that sadness, depression just lift. And I was able to praise and worship God that she's now with her Lord and Saviour. See, that takes imagination, but it also takes obedience to do it. And then look what God does. You're then quickened in your heart, your spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think some of us have never thought about this in your Christian walk. And it's time to do so, brothers and sisters, because it's going to help you. You see, a lot of people can no longer imagine placing oneself before the presence of Almighty God. And yet, that is exactly what we do. We have, even tonight, here, together, in this room, we have brought ourselves into the presence of Almighty God. Now, either you are going to experience that, or you're not. Either this is just going to be another meeting, another word, or it's going to be an experience that changes me. You see, when you're looking up, you're looking to the God who heals, delivers, and saves. And that's what he does. And that's why he's renewing our minds for this, so that we can have these experiences. We can have these experiences in our prayer time and intercession. And this helps us to be able to go beyond ourselves, beyond our limitations, and how the enemy tries to enslave us in ourselves and with depression and unbelief. That is why we preach faith like we do. This is why we hold on to the promises of God's word. Because the power in all of this is to take you beyond yourself, your natural self. To raise you up, to get you looking up unto Almighty God, the one who provides and who gives. What does it say as I bring this to a close in Hebrews 12, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. "Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." And he goes on, "Pursue peace with all people, holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." So he says in the context of seeing the Lord, make straight paths for your feet. Lift up those lame hands that are dislocated. Worship him. Acknowledge him. Let him touch your imagination, inspiration. Let those rivers of living water gush forth out of you. And that is why Isaiah said what he said. Because they were looking to themselves. They were looking to their problems, their weaknesses. They're moaning, they're griping and everything, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And that's why you can't be used of God. That's why a lot of saints aren't used of the Lord. Because They're not lifting up their eyes, looking beyond self, circumstances, and whatever, and looking to the greatness, the mightiness of God. When you see that, when you're influenced by that, then all things are possible. All the limits seem to be removed from you. How do you think I'm able to teach and preach week after week after week? I have to learn to lift my eyes above the circumstances. God taught me this one years back. Else it won't work. You'll run away. And that's what man does. And the enemy knows how to weaken us. Well, it's time that we rise up. It's time that we set our eyes on high and see who has created these things, who brings out their hosts by number. He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. And it just goes on and on. I encourage you to read that great chapter. And if you read it in the right heart and attitude, you're going to find that you start to look away from yourself, your trials, your problems. And you will begin to see the greatness and mightiness of God. He'll open your eyes to creation, to the things that he's created. He'll open your eyes to what is staring you right in front of your eyes. We're so blind because we're so selfish, inward looking. But he has a way of delivering us if we want it. And if we want it, then verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high. Just do it. And you will see that God will work that great deliverance in your life. That is where he sets us free. Because whom the Son sets free, you are free indeed. But we have to meet God halfway. And our problem is we expect him to do everything. But he has given us the ability to be able to do this. He's given us a brain, a mind. He's given us a mouth, a tongue. He's created us for him, so that we can acknowledge his greatness. We have the capacity in which to do it. So turn away from self. This is what Isaiah said to Israel. Turn away from your idols. Turn away from yourself and begin to acknowledge and look to Almighty God. Look up. Set your eyes on high. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, oh Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are delivering us from these idols that still can be in our lives, that can still blind us. Oh Father, you are setting the captives free in these last days. You are setting the sons of God, the overcomers free, Lord, because we're destined for the throne of grace. We thank you, Father, that you have spoken life into us today. You have highlighted what our problems are, why at times we're down and depressed and dejected, how we can be our own worst enemy. But Lord, how you raise us up when we set our eyes on those things, when we look to you, when we look around us and see your mighty hand and creation, that you hold the whole world into being by the word of your mouth. Without you, we don't even exist. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy and grace. And Lord, we thank you for Jesus, the greatest gift that you have ever given to mankind. And that is why you said in your word, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Father, help us to lift your name, your glory, you high, so that we see others drawn into the kingdom of God in these last days. Oh Father, we're seeing so many destitute, lost, so many going to a Christless eternity. Oh Father, we pray your mercy, Lord, in these last days. We know that judgment is starting. We're seeing the falling away now, Father. Man has become reprobate in his mind, his conscience seared. But Father, nothing is impossible with you. Lord, you reach out to the vilest of sinners and save them, as you did each of us, Lord. None of us can boast in any of this. This is all your mercy and grace, Father, what you have done. We didn't choose you. You chose us, Lord. We were quite happy sinning and doing our own thing in the world. But you suddenly stopped us in our tracks and turned us around. And you turned us around for one thing, and that is that we can see you. Oh Lord, we thank you for this. Father, I thank you for our meeting today. I pray you'll bless, preserve all the saints that have come into the room. The blood of Jesus over them, Lord. Be with them when they go out and when they come in. Give your angels charge over them. Preserve, keep them, Lord, from the evil one, from temptation, above all, Lord, from themselves. This we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord, he is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by from all evil, he will keep your